invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be verses 35 through 38. You can bring your own Bibles with you, or use your phone. We're going to be looking at those three verses here this morning. The term walk a mile in my shoes, how many of you have heard that? Most people have heard that. It kind of elicits this sense of kind of compassion. It calls us to understand the perspective of another person before we come too judgmental or assume things we shouldn't. The saying is one that I've appreciated because many times we say and we do things without fully understanding the perspective or the history or the life of another person. Now, the origin of this phrase comes from a woman named Mary Lathrop, who published a poem in 1895 called Judge Shortly. I want you to listen to these words from her. Pray, don't find fault with a man that limps or stumbles along the road unless you have worn the moccasins he wears or stumbled beneath the same load. There may be tears in his soles that hurt hit along the way from view. The burden he bears placed on your back may cause you to stumble and fall too. Don't sneer at the man who is down today unless you felt the same blow that caused his fall or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, unknown to you in the same way, may cause you to stagger and fall too. Don't be too harsh with the man that sins or pelt him with words or stone or disdain unless you are sure that you have no sins of your own and it's only wisdom and love your heart contains. For you know if the tempter's voice should whisper as soft to you as it did for him when he went astray, it might cause you to falter too. Just walk a mile in his moccasins before you abuse, criticize, or accuse. If just for 1 hour you could find a way to see through his eyes instead of your own muse, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind and narrow-minded, even unkind. There are people on reservations and in the ghettos who have so little hope and too much worry on their minds. Brother, there, but for the grace of God, go you and I. Just for a moment, slip into his mind and traditions and see the world through his spirit and eyes before you cast a stone or falsely judge his conditions. Remember to walk a mile in his moccasins and remember the lessons of humanity taught to you by your elders. We will be known forever. Listen to this. We will be known forever by the tracks we leave in other people's lives, our kindness and generosity. Take time to walk a mile in his moccasins. Taking the time to walk a mile in one's moccasins or shoes is very important to our faith walk. In fact, I think it's one of the most vital attributes that we can have as believers, as disciples. Compassion and care and understanding, wisdom, love, all of these things pour out of an understanding or a desire to understand what another person is going through. To have that understanding is a true gift on how we can support and walk alongside of those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ. However, it's also something that helps us walk alongside others who have yet to engage in a relationship with Jesus. And today, we're going to be exploring what that means. How do we pray? How do we walk alongside of those who have yet to encounter Christ? I remember the first person I shared Jesus with. I was in high school. Over the summer, I would go to a number of different camps, and one would have been our church camp down in the Mid-Atlantic District, would have been Shepherd Spring, or I would have gone to Camp Mardella, or Shiloh, or Woodbrook. All of those camps are down in Maryland. The other was called a camp called River Valley Ranch, and that's the camp that's up there. Now, it was a camp that was based on Christian values, but it allowed those from various faith backgrounds to come and be there. And as many of people who were Christians were probably those there who had no faith at all. And it was more of kind of an open camp. And what I mean by an open camp is that you were supposed to be places at certain times, but overall you could kind of do what you wanted to. You know, you could go and hang out and hang out with your friends, or you could do some activities, or you can participate in sports. And I remember on Sunday night sitting with this one girl, Jessica. Now, Jessica became quickly part of a small group that we were kind of engaged in, you know, me and my friends, and Jessica jumped into that group, and that formed over the course of a week, and as we were walking along the side of her, probably the first couple of days, we found out that she didn't know Jesus, didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, and I remember wondering why she didn't want to talk about Jesus. I wondered why she didn't take a Bible when it was handed to her. I wonder why her eyes were always open during prayer times and she never went to worship services, never went to Vespers. And it wasn't until I walked a little in her shoes that I realized what had happened to Jessica. You see, Jessica had been abused by a deacon in her church. She felt shame and she felt pain and she had deep wounds. Her family left the congregation, of course, after that and never looked back. There were these wounds that she carried with her for years. She could not put together a loving God with this act that happened to her by someone who is to be the hands and feet of Jesus to her. And it wounded her for life, and she turned away. I remember having conversation after conversation. Something special happens when you go to camp, right? You build relationships really quickly, and you get really deep really quick when you go to camp. And I remember having these conversations with her, conversation after conversation, laughing and listening and crying and sitting with her in her shoes as she recalled painful memories and wounded scars. I remember sharing my story of my own woundedness and how I walked through my experience with abuse, and together we connected. And later on that week, I asked her, I said, what prevents you from accepting Jesus? And through that conversation, words like fear, anger, rejection came up for her. Through our talking and sharing, we realized, and this includes me, we realized together that we were not to be defined by our abuse, but by the God who heals us in the midst of our brokenness. We realized that together, Jesus never leaves us, that God never forsakes us, and that their presence is eternal, even when we are feeling wounded and lonely and hopeless. And it was then that Jessica recognized that the light of Jesus wanting to burst out in her was something that she was holding back. And we prayed together. And it was a Friday night, and before all the parents were coming and to pick up all of us crazy teenagers, she came to Jesus that night. She accepted Jesus in her heart, and she decided to live for him. Over the six months, Jessica and I would write back and forth. We didn't have texting back then. Sorry, I wish that would have been so much easier. We would write back and forth, and she shared with me that she was attending a church with her friend, her parents still not desiring to go back, but she was attending with a friend, a youth group. And in fact, that she began praying and talking to God more and more. That was the last I heard from her. And I often wonder sometimes, like, what is she doing this morning? Like, I wonder if she's watching an online worship service. Or I'm wondering if she's coming to church and attending one. I wonder if because of her transformed life, she's brought dozens of people to the throne room of God and allowed the cross of Christ to transform them. I wonder if that has happened. And friends, walking in someone's shoes, understanding their life is one of the most impactful things that we can do for another human. Just sitting and being in their space is something that we're called to do. But beyond that, when we do understand, when we do walk with others like Jesus did on the road of Emmaus, we will be given opportunities to share the gospel. And in doing so, the transformative power of Jesus will radiate through you into their hearts. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons why we don't treat people with more love and grace is because we don't put ourselves in their place. I believe we fight as often as we do because we don't put ourselves in their place. I believe that we're not willing to share or share the gospel of Jesus because we have not put ourselves in their place. See, we've already arrived, haven't we? I mean, we've already accepted Jesus, right? I believe many Christians think that, and so there's kind of not this need to do anything else outside of ourselves. We need to keep growing ourselves, but it's very rare that we reach out and talk to other people about our faith. We forget that we were once sheep without a shepherd, right? And we forget to walk in the shoes of those who still don't know about this transformative power of Jesus in this world. And I truly believe it's a form of selfishness and pride to insist that how we see something is the only way it really is, right? That we even think that when we look at people, we think that we know exactly who they are, yet not a single one of us can look at a person and see what's in their heart. And see what they're thinking about, see what's on their soul. No matter how well we look like we're all together in the eyes of others, we all have issues that need to be dealt with. See, if we're going to make a difference in the lives of others for God, we're going to have to put ourselves in their place every now and then. The scripture for this morning shares this. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You see, one of the things do is that he puts himself in our place. And although he's completely holy, he doesn't look at us and say, "Man, you guys really don't measure up, do you? I mean, you have issues on top of issues. I mean, why don't you just come on back to me after you've put yourself all together again, and then we'll have a conversation," right? Jesus puts himself in our place. He sees that we have issues, but he also sees that we cannot do very much on our own about those issues. I mean, is there anyone else beside me in this room who's promised, "I'll never do that again"? And even though you meant it at the time, you still did it again? Anybody else? I'm the only one who has done that? Okay, you're in church, people. Don't be lying, right? You know, there's a nature in us that keeps us from being able to keep all of our promises and to do better and to try harder. And that nature that we have is a sin nature within us, right? And it is determined to mess up our lives. See, we can have the best plans for the future, but just one sin can change that all around, right? It has nothing to do with God punishing us or God trying to teach us something. The passage of Scripture tells us that Jesus went to the people and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus immediately puts himself in their place to see what in the world is really like for them and trying to understand their perspective. I mean, what was it that these lost people were experiencing? What was it that they were going through at that moment? You see, I believe people need to see God as being relevant in their situation in order to be open to hearing about him. See, when we discover that their own harassment and why they realize that they were helpless, we can point to God, who is excellent in all things. We can tell them, as the song says, "I searched all over," right? "And I couldn't find nobody greater than him." Jesus saw people as helpless and harassed as a sheep without a shepherd. You see, sheep without a shepherd is defenseless. All they can do is run. That's all they can do, right? I mean, when a lion or a wolf comes, sheep are no match for that battle. No sheep in the history of sheepdom has ever bitten a lion to death. That has never happened. Now you all are going to go home and Google that. Sheep biting lions to death. That's never happened in the history of sheepdom, right? See, Satan comes in like a roaring lion. Satan comes in like a wolf ready to devour. And many of us get eaten up because we try and charge him with our own strength instead of running to the shepherd. There is only one shepherd that we can run to that will make any difference in our lives. It has a lot of other shepherds that we run to, right? I mean, the shepherds of drinking, right? The shepherd of drugs, the shepherd of money, the shepherd of sex, the shepherd of fame. But these things do not change hearts. These things do not make God more real. These things do not offer lasting salvation. If you put yourself in their place and saw where they were putting their hope, you'd want them to know that there's a Savior who has come to give them healing and life. Amen? See, Jesus showed compassion by doing a couple of things. First, he goes where they are, right? He teaches them truth about life and how a disappointed life can leave you feeling apart from God. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, which means he offered them an invitation for them to receive the family of God, right? There's nothing in this world greater than the power of God. The only way that you can get in touch with that power is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, before you get to Jesus, you have to be willing to let go of those shepherds that you are wanting to follow here on earth. and that you need to turn to Christ, right? There are so many people we come in contact that do not know that the great shepherd is there to guide them and give them strength. Jesus says there are so many people who are ready to know the truth, but there are not enough workers willing to go and tell them. Jesus knew that if we were going to make a difference, he was going to have to go to the people. You know, it would be nice if people came to church all by themselves. If one morning somebody woke up and said, I'm going to go right to church, right? And that hundreds and thousands of people in the community of Ephrata would wake up one morning who have no faith connection, would wake up one morning and say, I'm going to ECOB this morning. That would be amazing if that would happen, right? That would be absolutely unbelievable. But the reality is, that doesn't happen. I want them to come and I want them to say, listen, tell me about this Jesus who says that I can live an abundant life. I want them to come and say, let me know what the Bible says about what I'm struggling with. But most people are not going to come. Most people have no idea of the answers that Christ provides. Most people do not even think that anything that we have to say is going to help them out. See, a lot of people think they have people problems, but what they really have is a spiritual problem. I am a firm believer, I want you to listen to this one, this is good. I have a firm believer that all the problems of this world are spiritual problems. All of them. And friends, this may sound simplistic or simple, but it's not simplistic. The only solution to a spiritual problem is a spiritual solution, and the only spiritual solution is Jesus. See, there's brokenness in a relationship. Jesus is the solution. There's difficulty at work. Jesus is the solution. There is famine and war and pestilence and COVID. I mean, Jesus is the solution. There is racism and ageism and sexism. Jesus is the solution. There is an eternity issue, a peace issue, a love issue. The solution is Jesus. I don't know if you're hearing me yet this morning, church. Can I get an amen? Some of you? I said, no matter what anyone is going through, there's an opportunity for you to share a solution with them. Because you have the cheat sheet. You have the answer key. You have the Sunday school answer. Jesus. That's it. See, when you walk into Walmart, you walk into Martin's Country Store or Sheetz or Utter Choice, are you putting yourself in the shoes of people there? Or are you just kind of getting there to get your things done and leaving, right? Us introverts are like that. What would it look like if you were to live life on the edge? Remember, I shared a while ago, our denominational vision has these three phrases. I love these phrases, if I say so myself, that we are to be innovative, adaptable, and fearless disciples. I mean, what would it look like if we were to do that and sharing the gospel of Jesus in our neighborhoods, right? I mean, there are thousands of people in Ephrata and the surrounding communities that are not in a faith relationship with Jesus this morning. And friends, Jesus stands on the center of Maple, South Maple and Main Street, and he looks down over the town and he has compassion on them. Do you? Jesus jumps in the shoes of the downtrodden. Do you? Jesus jumps in the shoes of the least and the lost and the lonely. Do you? Jesus jumps in the shoes of the children and the youth in our community. Do you? Will you? Like the scripture shares, there are so many who are harassed and helpless in this world. There are so many who are like sheep without a shepherd. But you know the shepherd. You know the shepherd, friends. He is the answer to all of the problems. He is the salve for the wound. He is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. Do you not hear me this morning, church? But friends, it's one thing to know the answers. It's one thing to know the pathway to joy and peace and love and purpose, but it's a whole different thing to act on it, to speak it, to radiate it. Just to know something doesn't mean you're going to do something. You know, I could have just sat and just listened to Jessica. And perhaps I would have offered her some kind of comfort. But in order to find true healing, I needed to open up my mouth. The scripture says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Will some of you pray with me? And this is something that I prayed. So in August, the first Sunday in August will be the 4 years ago will be the time that I, when you all said, Brian, we want you to be here. You're called to be a pastor here. Right from then, I started praying for people of Ephrata. I started praying for this community, that God would utilize us as laborers in the kingdom of God here in this community. So will you pray the same prayer that I have prayed since months before I actually started here at ECOB? Will you pray that we here would be willing to go into the fields of harvest, that we will be laborers with Jesus and radiating his love in this world? See, one of the best kept secrets in Ephrata and the surrounding communities is what God is doing in the lives of Ephrata Church of the Brethren and many other congregations in this community, that this body of faith is a welcoming place where the ordinary people can come and listen and learn about an extraordinary God. We should never keep this message to ourselves. Jesus is here. The answers for brokenness and struggle and strife and life are found in Jesus. Friends, we proclaim Christ here. We love people here. We need to keep praying that we have that fearlessness, that adaptability, that innovative spirit to share the love of Jesus and share the message of Jesus in our community. Friends, we have to allow God to move us to the place that when we run into people who are being harassed, people who are struggling, who are lonely, that we're willing to tell them, we need to say, I know a shepherd that can make a difference for you, and his name is Jesus. So you know what Jesus means to you, don't you? And you know that you wouldn't be who you are today if you didn't come to know him intimately, don't you? So why not put yourself in their place? If you were them, don't you think that you would want to know that there is help for your situation? That there is something more to life? See, we've got to love Jesus enough, love others enough to be laborers in the vineyard of this world. So here's my challenge as we head into our prayer time. See, I want each person at ECOB to talk about Jesus more regularly, to find ways to share him in every single conversation that you have. Do not let an opportunity go to waste. Have a sense of urgency about sharing Jesus. One of the things I shared at the last service is that, you know, one of the easiest things that you can do, if you are like scared to death about what I'm talking about right now, and I know about 80% of you are, but I'm going to challenge you to do one thing. This week, when someone asks you how you're doing, what is our normal response? Okay, yeah, I'm okay, I'm good. I want you to say one other word. I just want you to say the word blessed. When someone says, how are you doing? Just say, I'm blessed. And I guarantee you that will open up conversations that you have never had before, because just saying that word triggers something in someone to want to know why you feel blessed. So just this week, I want you to force yourself. Anytime someone says, how are you doing? I want you to say, I'm blessed. That's all. No matter where you are, grocery store, out to eat dinner, you know, you're doing yard work and someone swings by, and I don't care who it is. Just say that you're blessed, right? We need to love others enough to be laborers in the vineyard. I want you to find ways to share him in every conversation. I want you to have a sense of urgency about this. And for the rest of the year, I want you to invite someone to come to ECOB and worship. Invite them to watch online. Invite them to our ECOB student ministry on Sunday nights. If you want to gather kids in your community, you do that. Michelle will bring bunches of ice cream, and she will feed them ice cream all summer long, right? If you want to connect with kids through VBS, talk to Michelle. If you want to engage in that, and friends, you know, if we start our prime time group up, if you're over 55 and you want to engage in that, I encourage you to bring somebody to that. Planting seeds, friends, is part of showing others you love them, sharing Jesus with them, inviting them into relationships, caring for them, having compassion for them, walking in their shoes is part of our responsibility as a disciple of Christ. Our main responsibility as a disciple of Jesus is, guess what? To make other disciples. You see, brothers and sisters, Someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Someone somewhere this week is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. And God has called you to radiate the transformative love of Jesus in this world. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we do pray for those who have yet to know Jesus. God, in this series of prayer, you know, we've prayed over singles and we've prayed over marriages. We've prayed over, just our own discipleship, our own faith walk. And so, God, this morning we pray for those who are still on this pathway of life that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And God, as they do that, as they come to know Jesus, Lord God, that we would have an opportunity to share with them the solution to the problem. And it doesn't matter what problem it is, because the solution is Jesus. And may our eyes and ears be open and attentive to how we can share that love, how we can proclaim that love, and how we can reveal your love to them. God, may we radiate your love. Open up our ears and eyes and spirits this week. Open up our mouths this week, God. Because I believe that there is a harvest here in Ephrata and the surrounding communities that you are calling us to be laborers in. May we share your love so freely, the love that you have given to us, in such a way that people will be compelled to follow you, to love you, because you first loved us. For we pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.